Hello, I'm Kat.
And I'm Kaylin.
And this is...
No Baddies Left Behind.
Period. I've noticed that I always do that. I'm always like, period, right after you say no baddies left behind. Anyways, so how are you, Queen? Let's start there. How are you?
I'm good. I was sick for the past almost 2 weeks. This one really took me out.
It really took me out. And like I said before, I think it was me. If I'm being honest, I think it was me. And also, that's exactly how long it took for me too.
Oh, no.
And allegedly, there's like a strand of the flu that's going around that's a little bit more different and a little bit stronger. I mean, granted, these are not the symptoms I felt of the flu, one. And also, I got my flu vaccination. So, anyways, maybe it's like a different disease or that we don't know of or whatever. But that shit was, that took me out, Queen. And then it took you out.
It was rough. I honestly, I thought it was allergies at first. And then my mom was like, no, I think you're getting sick. And I was like, no, it's just been windy. You know, the pollen is blown around. I just sneeze a lot, you know? No, I got sick. It was a cold. But, you know, honestly, I've never had the flu, knock on wood. Hopefully I don't ever get it soon. But so I don't really know what that feels like. But from what I hear, it's like, feels like you're dying, kind of, in this one.
Yeah, like, it's like the first day. It's like when you have the fever and it's like you're so lethargic and fatigued, like you can't even keep your eyes open kind of thing. That's exactly what, I mean, that's what it felt like for me.
Yeah. The first like 2 days it was like that. And then it seemed like it was getting better. And then I think like day four, day five, it got worse for a couple of days. And then now it's finally starting to clear up. Yeah.
It lied to you. It played you.
Yeah.
Anyways, so today, Kaylin and I are going to be talking about, oh, sorry, there's a man that just walked by my window, a big bald man in a hat, and he's shirtless. I was like, ooh. Well, anyway, we're going to be talking about friendship breakups. This is something we've been wanting to talk about for a while now, but I feel like they're not easy to not only one go through, but also to talk about. But before we get started, let's not forget Pit and the Peak of the Week. Go ahead, Queen.
I think my pit was being sick, and my peak is now that I'm better, I'm able to go out and do things. I just went out for the first time, I think 2 days ago on Friday for my golf lesson. And so it's nice to kind of get back into the flow and routine of things.
Period. Okay. Sweet and simple. But my pit, I mean, it was the same as last week. I'm on still a strict diet and I'm a little bit in my head of my surgery. I'm not going to lie to you. But I do have a lot of preparation that goes into this. So I have a lot to get in order around my house and for my kids, but that's pretty much just the pit. But my peak is, well, I'm getting my surgery next week. So that's pretty much what my life is revolving around.
That the mattress wasn't delivered on time.
Oh my God. Oh, I forgot to mention that from Amazon. If you ever get the Oli Amazon mattress, which is like, literally, Queen, it is so highly rated on Amazon. It's like 4.6 stars, and there's like 44,000 reviews on that. Like, I've never seen such like a good ratio like that. But tell me why that bitch just never came. And so I talked to customer service. Allegedly, it's coming today. But also, thank you. Shout out to Miss Ari Girl, Miss Ariane, for helping me build my bed. Sorry, it's like me and her are literally like thing one, thing two. We're literally twins. If you have not seen, like, Ari is my twin flame. Not only are we Sagittarius, like both of us are Sagittariuses, but also we're both Filipino. we just literally look the same. We both literally are the same.
No, my mom, when we all first became friends, my mom would always mix up Ari and Kat because they're so similar.
Oh, Linda lady. Oh my gosh. No, that is so funny. But yeah, she helped me build my bed. But thank you to Miss Ari Girl. Thank you to that girl for helping me build this bed frame. It did take longer than expected because we were just talking. We were just yapping away. That's what we do. That's our specialty. And she was just all good vibes and she makes me laugh. And yes, thank you to her. And anyways, let's just get started into the topic. Let's get down with the topic, queen. And also, why don't you start, queen? I love the outline that you made for this episode, by the way, on a side note. Like, it's really, I like the construction of it. Like, it's really well built.
Oh, so why don't you
go ahead. Go ahead, queen.
Okay. I think when we're talking about friendships, it's really important to kind of get a good foundation of what our view of a friendship is. So for me, something that I learned about in therapy were marble jar friends. I learned about it from this TED Talk. I can't remember who the woman was, but she was basically talking about regaining trust and learning who you can and cannot trust in your life. And she goes on to talk about marble jar friends, where basically a marble jar friend is someone in your life who, when you first met them, they start off with an empty jar. And as time goes on, they do things that prove to you that you can trust them, that they're a genuine friend. And so with each thing, you add a marble to their jar. And then at a certain point, now their jar is full. They've become your marble jar friend because over time, they've proven to you that, you know, they're trustworthy, they're accountable. You know what I mean? Like they're just the best definition of a friend in whatever way that means to you. And so I feel like we've used that term a lot since we've started filming. We talk about it a lot, but we've never really explained it. But after watching that TED Talk, I kind of base all my friendships off of that now. I hold a lot of value in a marble jar friend because I think to me, my friends, you know, I grew up technically, basically an only child. And so when I have friends, when I make friends, they're not just my friends. You're now my family and I treat you as such. And so I hold a lot of value in all my friendships. And so the marble jar saying kind of just accentuates that for me. And so we always say like, oh, like Kat's a marble jar friend, or Ari's a marble jar friend, and Arlene's a marble jar friend. But you know, and to people on the outside who don't really know the meaning of that, it's like, oh, that's a nice endearing way to, you know, refer to someone. But I think between us, like the people who know, you know, it's goes so much further than just the term friend at that point, once you've hit that marble jar mark, you know what I mean? But I think of it a lot like, I feel like that explanation sometimes is a little bit hard to process and understand. Even when she was explaining it, there's a whole acronym that goes along with it as far as like, you know, how you can add marbles to the jar. And so it gets a little bit confusing, but I just like to think of it as like, these marble jar friends are the people that, you know, recharge your batteries. You know, I'm someone who likes my alone time. I'm someone who likes to sit in silence. That's comfortable for me. And so to go out and do social activities sometimes is a little bit stressful, a little bit anxiety inducing, just because I am more introverted. But, you know, those marble jar friends help ease that, or they help, you know what I mean? Like they recharge that battery for when we go out and do have those social activities.
That was a good one. Still, sorry, I'm moving and rumbling and on the screen. I feel like that took you out a little bit. You're like watching me like you paused. So I was like, no, sorry, I need to like pump my legs up. Just, I don't know why I get like that. Like I need to rest it on something, and I'm like, I'm on a different setup if you're watching the video version of this. So I'm just trying to get comfortable. And yes, anyways, back to what you were saying. I feel like when you say, you know, you have anxiety-inducing situations, you need to have friends that even you out, that can acknowledge what you're feeling and help you. You don't even need to say it. You don't need to say that I'm feeling anxious. Like, your marble jar friend just knows. And I feel like as I've gotten older, that's exactly how I'm like, that's a friendship. You know, like you don't need to, I'm not saying anyone needs to read minds, you know, because you do need to communicate at the end of the day, but it's like your marble jar friends will know how to communicate properly, how to go about situations that are not only tough for the friendship for them, but also for you. You know, like they're considerate of what goes around, like what goes both ways. And you are obviously also to the marble jar friend. But I remember specifically what just stuck out with me was like, we, just a little story. We had a a gals miss. So it was like our group of girlfriends. And also thank you to Kaylin's uncle. He let us use his pad and his girlfriend. But queen, that Target that we went to, oh my God, that was so overwhelming. And y'all know how I get. Like I can easily, you could think like, why is she mad? Why is she upset? Da, 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 da. But really, you guys knew I was anxious. They like, you guys took the cart from me because I had my kids with me, which is what I think really sparked it more. And you guys took the cart. And, you know, it was Angel. She was like, she took the cart. She was like, okay, I'll take the cart because you guys knew that I was like turning up. I was like, oh my God, no, like I'm getting anxious. And I feel like your marble jar friends just know what your strengths and your weaknesses are. And you can go about your friendship the same, you know? Because I feel like sometimes when we know, oh, so-and-so is not a good texter, or so-and-so, she doesn't answer calls, but she'll text you back. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes some people don't know how to work with your weaknesses, you know? Mm-hmm. But your real friends are there through it both, no matter what. Yeah. And I agree. You know, marble jar friends are, I feel like they're not something that you pay attention to either until you get older. And mm-hmm. then when life really starts to ruffle your feathers, that's when, you know, they come to light. Your marble jar friends. That's a little bit of a tongue twister, girl. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, girl. Hold on.
Yeah. I think it does change a lot as you age, just, you know, through the things that you go through an experience. In the TED Talk, when she was explaining it, as this was something that she was teaching her daughter. And so her daughter came home one day and was like, oh, I'm so upset. So-and-so, you know, said XYZ about me. And then she went on to explain marble jar friends to her daughter. And so then her daughter's like, oh, like, so-and-so's a marble jar friend. And so then she was like, well, what makes her a marble jar friend? What did she do to add marbles to her jar? And she was like, oh, she remembered like grandma and grandpa's name or something like that. And it's crazy to think that like at that age, of course, that's something that means a lot to us. I mean, even now, if like, you knowing my mom's name and then going up to her and saying hello, or like knowing my grandparents and going up to them and saying hello, like that is still meaningful, but it's also just like lower down on the list as opposed to all the other things that a marble jar friend at this age would help me go through and handle and deal with, as opposed to, you know, when I'm 6 or 7 and that's like the end all be all. Yeah. You remembered my mom's name. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, it's just when we get older, it's like certain things just mean different, have different meaning, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I, on a side note, I did read something too. I forgot where it was. Cause I'm all about like reading into self-help, psychology shit, whatever. Calling people by their first name, it feels like a compliment. Like it feels like it's so close to home. And I just love, like you said, we love Miss Linda. Isn't he your auntie that we went to Knott's with, your Auntie Janet? Mm-hmm. See, girl, see, don't tell me that I forgot. And she got us all like Starbucks gift cards, right?
Oh, yeah.
We love that lady. We love her, too. But, no, yeah, I totally see that before. And also, too, like, sometimes that I've noticed, like, your marble jar friends or just friends that, you know, have a lot of meaning to you, you don't need to worry about them around your family or your friends of certain from other friend groups, which I kind of wanted to talk about, too. But I have a friend and she went to college and she made a whole group of friends and she would always get nervous if, and then she had like her roommates. So she had different groups of friends and I was really the only person that she talks to from high school. And I'm just saying it's Nay. It's Nay. She wouldn't give a fuck. She wouldn't give a fuck. But like, she has like her friends that she made like in school and then also from school, her roommates. And she was like, I don't ever really need to worry about you and like how you like meeting my other friends. Cause I feel like what's important too is like the blend of like, you know, your friends from high school and then us, you know, or it's just like I said, like college and high school, that's always like a kind of a harder little mix to get into. But your marble jar friends, they will adapt with you because they love you and they'll whatever is in your life, they learn to love it too. Mm-hmm. And they become considerate of it, you know?
Yeah.
And did you bring up the TikTok, the Chloe?
Where Chloe says that Cece recharges her batteries.
Yes. That's you. I feel like, you know what? We do a good job. Like, oh, I don't ever see it as like when you have to go and do your own thing or even the girls, because at the end of the day, I can recognize when your guys' social battery is kind of like depleting, like just going downwards. And it's okay that your friends don't text you back. It's okay that they don't answer your FaceTime or your phone call. I won't lie. I do get a little, like with Arlene, I swear, I was like, well, we're beefing, girl. We're beefing. I had to tell you something important. You didn't answer. But, you know, your marble jar friends will not care because they know what you're going through. You know, we all go through life and you don't need to sit there at their beck and call, you know? Is
that right? And you know that at the end of the day, even if they're not texting you back every day or calling you every day, you know when it comes down to it, they will be there for you. They will show up for you. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like finding comfort in knowing that you can always count on them kind of makes up for the fact that like, oh, she didn't text me back, but it's fine. She's busy. I know she's busy. I know she's sleeping. Like, I know she's not purposely ignoring me.
Sorry. This reminds me of my friend. Like, even with all of you guys, like, I don't ever really fully get, at least, of course, I get a little booty tickle, but it's like, y'all are working, or I know that, you know, you may be having breakfast with your grandparents, or, you know, Miss Ari girl just had a new niece. And, you know, like, there's just certain things in life where, like you said, our friends are not ignoring us. They're just doing their own thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like at this age, too, it's kind of the norm where we're all just living our lives. And then the one off chance that we're all free and we can all get together, you know, it gets to be less and less, or the amount of times and how often we are able to talk gets less and less. But I feel like that's just kind of with the age that we're at right now and the place that everybody's in their lives.
It's the way life goes. It's how the cookie crumbles. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes, I don't know about you, but I used to have friends that like but granted we were way younger. So like we would spend every waking moment together. And sometimes like some friendships, they do rely on that, right? Like where they rely on that kind of relationship of seeing each other every day, texting every day. And then when you guys don't text for a week, all of a sudden it doesn't feel right. Even though nothing was exchanged, you guys just didn't talk for a week. Mm-hmm. I feel like your meaningful, close, real friends, that doesn't matter. Like, cause like we said, life really takes, especially when you get older. Like if you're younger listening to this, and I remember even myself, Queen, like whenever people would be like, oh, that's nice that you guys are like all friends from high school, but that'll change. You know, and I was like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. Like what everyone says that, but whatever, I don't believe it. But no, it does, because life really will always do a number on everybody, even with your own personal family. And you know, let alone your friends, you know, like so really I feel like I've learned to like, once we kind of, your friends who are there for you in your moments of need or when you just need to go out, but also when you need to be alone for a little bit, those are the real ones. Because then you call them up real quick and be like, hey, hi, sorry, I'm out of my mental, you know, my depression. Can we chill out? You know? They won't take any offense to it. It's just like, okay, yeah, girl, I missed you. Let's go. But yeah. Oh.
Anyways. We love friends. Oh, also, yes, I wanted to kind of touch on that everyone's friendship dynamic is different. And I think that that's why some friendships just don't end up working out. I think the way that our group handles a lot of things and the way that we communicate with each other is very similar to our own personal communication styles and relationship styles. And so I think that's why our friendship works so great. Whereas, you know, if you have two people who have differing communication styles, you're always going to have that conflict. And then continuing to try to force that friendship into being a friendship could ultimately be the end of it. And so I feel like that's why sometimes some people are better off as acquaintances or as, you know, more superficial friends and not so much being a marble jar friend.
I feel that one. And you know what? Even though sometimes I feel like some people don't, I've tried talking to someone about this, like different kinds of friends for different kinds of things. And like you said, I feel like your marble jar friends are, they're that all around. You know, like your real friends are that one all around. But it's also okay. You said there's different kinds of friendships for different people. Like it's okay to have that one friend that you go out with just to go out. You know, like just go to the bar. They're not going to be that one friend that you call them when you're having a mental breakdown. You know, like there are just certain friends for certain things. And it's okay to hold people at an arm's length because, well, that's just how your relationships and your friendship works better. You know? And that's okay. That's all right. But like you said, different friendships for different things. It's just how you how you look at it at the end of the day, too.
Yeah. So but, I feel like with friends or any relationship in your life, there's bound to be some kind of conflict or little tiff that goes on and that happens. And so I don't know if we like mentioned this in the beginning, but that's kind of what the bulk of this episode's gonna be about, is more so like friendship breakups. But something that I think a lot about as far as like when you get into arguments with friends or how often you're spending time with them, I think sometimes a friendship break is needed, and it's not necessarily a breakup. It's more so just I need time and space to just get my thoughts together and just live my life, and then we can reconvene and hang out again. You know what I mean? And I feel like for me, as I've gotten older, I've noticed that I can't do the every single day for years and years and years. It just drains too much for me personally. And so I've learned to kind of put up boundaries where I feel like I need to not fall into that habit and that pattern, because it is so easy when you enjoy spending time with a specific friend to just see them every day. Hey, what are you doing? Come with me to the grocery store. You know what I mean? Like just have that routine. But I just find that sometimes if you're spending so much time with just the one person, that's when problems really start to arise, and that's when that conflict really comes up, and then now you're stuck in this mess of arguing and disagreeing all the time. So I think sometimes, not necessarily a breakup, but a break is nice and needed.
And also I feel like breaks are essential sometimes, but breaks are needed. And sometimes, you know what, like you said, we do love being around those certain friends or like being with someone all day, every day. You know, like that's easy to do. That's, you know, but sometimes when that happens, it's like, what is a good, what's a good time if you have it all the time? Like you have to have those breaks in order to let the battery recharge. And then when it comes back around, that's, it's more valuable that way. Like, how are you really spending all the time? And it's like good all the time. And also I feel like, left my brain, but it's okay. But yeah, like I feel like breaks are needed. And I don't think that it's, like you said, it's a breakup. It's just I need a little break, you know? Mm-hmm. But I feel like with that, like kind of starting to lead into the friendship breakup, it's like sometimes some people just don't handle that well, if I'm being honest with you. Like some people mm-hmm. are just so a little bit, but it's hard because in our early 20s, this is what it's about. It's about us. It's about ourselves, right? But then like sometimes our friends may be older. Sometimes our friends are going through a little bit of a more real, I don't want to use the word real, cause it's a little bit dismissive, but like a more... Prove, like, tell me if I'm wrong, okay? But I feel like friends who need to be around you more often for their friendship to feel more valid, they don't take breaks well, that I've realized. I mean, I have, like, a few, a one friend who, like, she's good about that, like, but we've distinguished that, like, okay, we need a break a little bit, but it's the ones, I don't know, that I just feel like those kinds of friends, 9 times out of 10, they don't really take that well.
Yeah. But then I feel like, you know, at that point, it's back to friendship, how the friendship dynamic is for them versus how it is for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, is that really a beneficial friendship that you want to maintain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to get too much into those kinds of friends because those friends are the ones with the more attachment-like friendship, even relationship dynamic, like they need to be with somebody. And sometimes we grow out of that a lot of us do grow out of that, you know, especially when we get older and we have work, we have life, whatever. But I don't know, that's just something, like you said, maybe it's just how at the end of the day, it's how your friendship, how, what it goes to show, really what it rests on. Like, is it a real friendship if it's able to, if you guys are able to make it out of that, or if you guys are able to talk about it and then recover from it. But if you can't, that just goes to show what kind of friendship that really was. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Friendships within, or friendship conflicts within a group of friends. So just as like a story, I used to have a group of friends when I was in high school. And I told you about this. Like we were from when we were 10 years old, some of us until we were like 18. And so I think I remember I had like one friend or like a few like girlfriends who were like, basically it was like a girl group and then a guy group. And the girls, like there was like maybe like 5-6 of us. And then the guys, like they're a big group. So like they would have their own little thing going on. But whenever we would party or hang out, it would be like all of us together. And I think it was towards the end, like when I got pregnant with Zeke, that was when things really hit the fan. Like I remember it was really rocky with my baby daddy. Like it was really not stable, clearly. And when we got pregnant and the situation, it wasn't a good situation to be in, regardless, no matter what age you are, you know, I mean, being 19 or 18, like I don't know how well that'd be anyways, but they didn't like him. My girlfriends, they didn't like him. And even my guy friends, they didn't like him. And I did try bringing him around them, you know, and whatever, but it never really worked. And I remember I would still go out to him even when they would tell me not to. And I just feel like, you know, they're being friends, right? Like they're trying to look out for me and being like, don't go to him. Or like, but then they would like kind of catch me. Like, cause at the time, like sharing locations wasn't really a thing. And I remember they would call me and be like, oh, come to Denny's or come to so-and-so's house. And I'm like, okay, I'll be there in like 20 minutes. And they're like, why? Because like literally, like Queen, we all lived like not even 10 minutes away from each other. Because like this radius is really small, like between all of us. And they're like, why are you taking long? Like you're only like 2 minutes away. And I was like, oh, I'm coming from, you know, this area. I wouldn't even say who I was with. I would just say like, I'm coming from this area. And they knew who I was with. And I remember specifically Queen, like it was one of my old friends' like debut practices. And for those that don't know, it's like a quince to a Filipino girl. And we were all like at the practice and they like, maybe three of them, like, but granted Queen, like there's only 8 girls. And like, there were some people who we didn't really know that well who were there. They just straight up did not talk to me. Like they just like literally ignored me And they couldn't even like avoid, I mean, we did talk about it. And I just feel like toxic relationships are, we've talked about this before, they're hard to go about, and they're, we can go on about that forever, but especially with friends, like that is a really hard thing to navigate when your friend is going through a really toxic relationship. But I just, and also we were young, but I just felt at the end of the day, they didn't really handle it that well. And I wasn't really doing the best that I needed for myself. But one thing led to another, and we just ended up not friends. And then we rekindled our friendship when, you know, Zeke was like 2. But then just from that point forward, like after having kids, I just realized like what they weren't, they changed. They just changed. I remember one time we were at like a birthday party, and one of my guy friends, I used to be so close to him, and he was like, I said, how come this doesn't feel the same? Like I was just being honest with him. And he was like, well, because you spent time like away. And I was like, and I told him, I was like, so? And I literally told him like, so? Like that would just go to show how strong our friendship is then. And I just feel like that point forward, like I took a look back at that friendship and Queen, like they never really, I never felt valued in that friendship. I never felt like I was treated the same way. I was always like that one friend who was kind of like, they would always like, there would always be rifts with me. Like it would, me and the guys of the group, like they would always like to, it's just such like a, it's such a boy. I feel like if anyone heard this, like, oh girl, be for real. Like, no, they would always pick on me because I feel like when they were all young, we're in high school, you know, that's like the thing to just piss off girls. But like, I would give them the reaction they're looking for, you know, like, because of how emotional I am. So, you know, it just was a recipe for disaster, that kind of dynamic, like I spoke about, even with a girl group and a guy group and how big the friend group was. Like literally there was over 15 of us. Like there was just a lot of us. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was just a filler friend to them. I was not who I saw them to be. You know, like my friend, my mom would always tell me that, like, oh, I don't really know if I like them, you know, but at the time when you're young and you like kind of don't really care about what your parents have to say, like I do, they were just my friends and they were filling up my time after our breakup. So I was like, no, the mom, like they're my real friends. They're my real friends. But no, they were not. And I get it. Like we were young, but like they were, even when we got older, like when we were 21, like they just weren't marble jar friends, you know, but I will say I did make up with one of my friends, and you know, I've known her the longest, so I feel like I kind of hold that to her, is like I've known her literally since we were children, like we were 10 years old, and she's seen me through, I mean, everything. But I feel like it's natural to hold them at a distance because of stuff that happens. But yeah, I will say though, Queen, that really hurt me though, like that argument and that breakup, bitch. Like, and you mentioned, is our friendship breakups worse than a romantic breakup? They're a little bit like, they're both, I think they're both worse in their, in a different way, you know, especially when you're dealing with a group of people, because then it's like the loyalty starts to shift, you know, like the, oh, and then because you know that there's beef, if it's with one person, you're like, well, is that person mad at me? Is that other person gonna? And then naturally, like they will take sides if your group is that big. And then you're just kind of left in the dark, it kind of feels like. And that's how I felt too, you know? So I just think that it's not easy. Friendship breakups and then in a friendship group, it's not easy. But have you experienced that?
I feel like that's like the tricky thing about being in a friend group, especially a bigger friend group, because, you know, if you have a issue with one person in the group, it becomes an issue for everyone in the group, just because, oh, you know, let's say, for example, if you and I have an issue in the group, and then let's say, oh, I'm might be a little bit closer to Ari, then I'm going to go and talk to Ari about it. And you're a little bit closer to Arlene, then you're going to go and talk to Arlene about it. So now it's going from person to person within the group. And then it's just creating an even bigger divide issue. So I feel like that's the really difficult part about being a part of a larger friend group, because things always just get so, like, the wires get crossed so often. But I think it's funny though too, on a side note, I had the same conversation with my mom about how she was like, I don't think these these friends are right for you, or like, I don't think these friends are like good friends. And then, you know, of course, at the age that we're at, it's always like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know them like I know them. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's mm-hmm. funny. I think like, I feel like almost every girl has had that conversation with their mom or, mm-hmm. you know, some parent where looking back now, I'm like, you were right.
Yeah.
You were right. You wish right. I would have mm-hmm. realized that back then. You were right. Yeah. But yeah, friendship groups are tricky. But I feel like, you know, again, it really just kind of comes down to communication and being able to have that open and honest and healthy communication with whoever it is that you're in the disagreement with, especially in a friend group, so you're not bringing everyone else into it. Because I feel like if you don't have that, it creates this divide. And so then it pushes people to go and be like, okay, I side with her, or I side with her. You know what I mean? It's a lot more, it creates a more split situation.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I feel like also too, I feel like it's hard too because, you know, we're all friends, right? And but then sometimes when you do go through something, you are going to talk to, like we just talked about, those certain friends that we go to for certain things. And you are going to confide in them about the situation. But that also, however the situation plays out, like let's just say someone listening to this like lost all their friends, right? At the end of the day, how it turned out was, it goes to show how your friendship was really holding on. Because I feel like, you know, we've all, you know, not that we've all gone through it, but like I've spoken to you about certain friendship things, and it's like, if your friends are mature about it, they're going to see it as like, okay, she's venting and I'm not going to treat the other person any different. It just goes to show mm-hmm. if someone were to ever do that, first of all, to anyone listening, that's petty. That's not a real friend. If they're going to like hear a different side and then not hear your side and then just literally be like, well, I choose one side and then act mm-hmm. like blatantly different towards you. That just goes to show how they are and who they are as a friend. And that's just not something that you would probably want in your circle. But like, you remember when mm-hmm. we went to like Topgolf and stuff like that? Like, you guys are still all willing to like hang out and hang around. But it's like, I've never done that. You know, we're like, we still hang around each other when we're arguing. Well, let me just say this. Like, I will say like things like this, they're very, it's natural. It's people, if there's a big group of you guys, at the end of the day, even if it's five, that is still big. If it's a trio, mm-hmm. if it's a quartet, it's still four different people, three different people, five, however many, coming together as friends. It's literally impossible and it's inevitable for there to be a moment of conflict. Even if it's something on a smaller magnitude and something on a greater magnitude, like, you know, what happened with just recently me and one of our friends in our group of friends versus like y'all arguing about, I don't know where I want to eat or who's going to drive, even though that can lead up to something bad, you know, but like mm-hmm. it wasn't easy. You know, and I feel like what we talked about, the recovery is what we're going to be talking about. And you know, me and her, we're still good. Like, I feel like we were able to talk about it. We did spend a lot of time not talking, which I feel like I do kind of regret. Like, that's not something I feel like should have went under the rug for as long as I held it down or held it off. But at the end of the day, the recovery of the group, and we were still going out. Like, I was telling Keelan, I was like, well, we all went to Topgolf, right? We all went out and we all still wanted to stay out. But it's weird because for me, because of what I went through with my older group of friends, I cut it out. I tune it out and I'm gonna stay out because I felt disrespected. But I feel like when it's your real friends and it's your real group of your circle, sometimes like you guys will still go out. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, do you want to come with us? Because like obviously your friends love you and they want you to have a good time. But they're like, well, just so you know, like so-and-so is going to be here too. And you're like, all right. And I feel like that's a great example of having a true friendship, because sometimes some people will not invite you and it'll make it worse. It'll make it a lot worse when you're mm-hmm. not there. And you feel cornered. You feel picked on. You feel singled out, you know? But I feel like my friends specifically, they're like, do you want to come? You know, or just can we bring, because we don't want anyone to feel left out. You know, like that at the end of the day, I feel like is a really good example of still trying to incorporate when you know that they're real friends versus y'all just not telling me anything and just, you know, if you don't tell them and like it goes behind, like you feel like people are going behind your back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're plotting against you.
Yes. You feel plotted against and you feel talked about. Like, oh, well, if they're able to make plans and they're probably talking about me. But that wasn't, unfortunately, that was not the case for me or like even for our friend. That's not something that we do. You know, that is very disrespectful and it is also very extremely petty to like do something like that. But you would be surprised. People do that at big ass ages and they still do it, you know? Have you had that though? Where you're able to recover from a friend group or have even dealt with a friend group situation, even when you were like younger, like not recently?
You know, my track record with friends is a little bit tricky. When I was younger, I didn't have a lot of friends. I was bullied a lot in school, and so I didn't have, you know, I maybe had like one or two at a time usually, but I never really had like a big friend group. I did have one experience where, and this is like elementary school, back when I had this one best friend and I would get really attached to just one person at a time just because of how I had been treated by people just in general. And I remember there was a situation where I had invited somebody else to come and sit with us at lunch who was like new or something. And the three of us ended up becoming really good friends, right? And then couple months later, maybe it was the next year or something, my original friend had called me on the phone and manipulated me into saying certain things about the other friend. And that's like really my only experience that I have. I didn't have like big friend groups, so I feel like it's hard for me to say like, you know, how it was handled or how like a better way it could have been dealt with as far as with how many people, because it was just the three of us. And I feel like that's you know, basically just a disagreement. You're not really so worried about the dynamic of everyone else because there's only three of us in there. You know what
Wait,
I mean?
How old were you, Queen?
This was, I think, like fifth grade.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. It was really young. I didn't really have, you know, I didn't have a lot of friends back then, so I don't have a lot of like experience of like conflict from that to deal with. And then throughout high school, it was usually more of just like a one-on-one thing. But I think also throughout high school, I just didn't care. Like, you know, people would do things and be like, whatever, like I'm moving on with my life. And I think therapy has had a lot to do with the way I react to certain things now and how I handle certain things now. And so I think that's why it's a little bit more meaningful to me now when I get into a disagreement with someone as opposed to back then, because they matter to me more now than they did back then. But yeah, I don't really have any friend group, you know, but disagreement, you know,
like experiences. That might be a good thing, right? I feel like sometimes I feel, it's funny because I feel like me and you are both on different spectrums. Like, I feel a little bit more seasoned when it comes to dealing with fake friends. You know, like I'm able to kind of spot them a little faster, a little bit quicker, or even not even fake friends, just kind of what the dynamic of friendship is. But sometimes, you never know. Like, getting older and being at the spot that we're at now and having to deal with something like that may be a little bit more beneficial because simply of the fact that we're older, you know, and also like we don't need to, there are just certain things like when you're mature that you would not do now than what you would do when you were 15, 16, 17, way more petty, you know, but that's okay. That's what you can kind of talk a little, and we talked about that, don't act on, well, not acting on temporary emotions what was it? Don't make temporary decisions, or no. Don't make
decisions on temporary emotions. Permanent yes. decisions on temporary emotions.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. That's huge. And I feel like when we're older, that's something we can kind of filter a little bit better. You know, like, I'm going to pause right here before I say something that I'm going to regret. Mm-hmm. Versus when we're young, we don't give a fuck. We're going to say it whenever we want to say it, you know? Yeah. And sometimes,
Sorry, go ahead.
our things cut off. But I feel like sometimes, like, when we're like, oh, I'm going to pause right here before I say something I regret, and we're younger, that's not really something, like, that we can do for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think it's our brain lacking the maturity.
Something that I think about a lot that I want to ask you is, having kids affect your perception of friendships more? Because you know how they say, like, you know, moms know. Right. And so then if are you more on the lookout for, like, if your kids bring someone home and you're like, I don't really like that one. You know what I mean? Does that help you in your, like, with you in your life, like your adult friendships? Does that play a role in affecting
Totally. You know, what's so funny is I feel like, I don't know, some parents lack this more than others, you know, but I feel like, you know, your mom's intuition, or whenever moms don't like certain people, it's like for a reason, especially around our kids. Like, that's something that never fails you. And really, that didn't come until I had kids. I just feel like, or maybe even just maturity, not that you need a baby to do that, but, like, you know, I feel like what was funny actually was during Zeke's football season, I remember being older and being a mom now, I kind of feel like you can pinpoint a little bit easier, like, let's not do that for you. Because when you get older, that's all our friends are for. Like, Zeke would always use the word, he's my best friend. He's my best friend. She's my best friend. Obviously, he's a kid, right? But I really am so keen on, like, implementing on my kids because of what I've went through with friendships. Because it wasn't something that I didn't struggle with friendships. I just think I struggled with, again, like, my emotions. And also because I was feed into it so much, I wouldn't care about what anyone would say. I'm like, they make me feel good. So that's all that I care about. But Zeke, you know, he's my best friend. They're my best friend. I remember one time I was, like, walking past them when they were doing their warm-ups, and I heard what his friend was, like, saying, like, the words that he was using. And I was like, okay, hold on. And I remember I was, like, watching him from a distance that day, and he was doing what his friend was doing. And I was like, we got to start having that talk. And so, you know, we got home from practice and I was like, you know, I heard, you know, so-and-so was saying these things. Let's remember that because our friends do it does not mean that we do it, right? If our friends say bad words, that does not mean that you get to say bad words or whatever they were doing out on the field. Like, Zeke that day, he was just playing around. He was spitting out his mouthpiece. Like, he just was not listening. And so I was like, I know you have your friends and you like being around your friends, but you still follow your coach. Like, it's not a hangout. You guys are playing football, you know? And so I feel like that's something that I feel like I've realized as a mom now. Emmy, it's funny, I don't really got to worry about that girl. She's always like,
I don't like how she marches to the beat of her own drum.
Literally. And she's like, I'm gonna just play on my own. I don't like how she treated me. I'm gonna do my own thing. But Zeke is a little bit more, I feel like, because I've, like you said, I've gone through these things, and I feel like being a mom now, it's things that you look out for your kids. Because I feel like it also, it strikes a chord with you, you know, if that's the word, like, because of what you've gone through, and you realize it too, you're like, then you kind of identify easier, because it's kind of reaching back to your trauma. But definitely, I think that's something that I've realized as a mom.
Emmy is my inspo for life.
I need to be as unbothered as her. She's so unbothered. There's some days, don't get me wrong, she'll be mad all day at me, and then I pick her up and she's still mad at me, you know, but no, she's just unbothered.
Emmy needs it to teach a master class on how to be unbothered.
How to be unbothered.
No, we talk about relationships a lot on this podcast. We talk about breakups and dating and, you know, things that are really relevant to us and people probably in their young, mid, late 20s, 30s, 40s, I don't know, whatever age anybody out there is. And I know we've talked about before that sometimes in a romantic relationship, the best thing for you to do is walk away. You know, that you know the best thing for you is to walk away. And I think the same goes for friendships. You know what I mean? And I think it a friendship breakup, like you said, I think is equally as difficult as a romantic relationship, just in their own respective ways. But I think it is also important that in those friendships, you know, you still have your boundaries, you still have where you draw the line, and you still need to know when it's best for you to just walk away from it. Because sometimes, no matter how much you love that person, no matter how much you love spending time with them and, you know, going out and doing activities with them, that is not what's best for you. And, you know, deep down, you know that, and it's just really difficult to walk away. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to do that for yourself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think friends, there's a lot of value in a friendship, especially as women and as girls. I think, especially right now, girlhood is really this strong kind of culture right now, which is absolutely amazing. And I love that. And I love being a part of a girl group like we have, because it does do something for your soul. But I think also, too, it's a matter of finding the people that are right for you. And if you're stuck in a group with people that are wrong for you, you have to be able to take that step to walk away and find something better for yourself.
Period. You know, let's not end it so soon, though. Because, you know, let's talk about some advice to give to someone going through a friendship advice. Sorry, now that I'm thinking about that. Because I like the points that you brought up. You know what, Queen? I remember back then being so upset, being so angry going through a friendship breakup, being like, I gave them such a good friendship. I feel like I was there for them through so much, and then that just wasn't real to them. It's like imposter syndrome. It's like, oh, what was I to you then? What was this whole entire time then? You know, but like, I feel like at the end of the day, people who are not meant for you, and my therapist told me this, there are people in your life who are meant to be there. They're, you know, they'll come into your life and those people in your life are either meant for a reason, a season, or a lesson, you know? So I feel like at this age, I mean, a lot of us can attest to that, right? To those people who did come in for a reason, a season, or a lesson. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's easy to get upset, rather than what makes it easier is understanding that this is the course of your life. And there are people who are, you probably thought, and you had great friends. And I was just thinking about this before too, because, you know, going through high school, I did have, you know, I had a lot of friends. I was very social. And then there was a point where I remember, well, I also did have a child as a teenager, but, you know, I was like, none of this was real. There's a certain point where those things are so surface level, but because you're young, you think that they are your real friends before you start going through real life shit. You know what I mean? And so it's hard. It's not something that you love going through. No one wants to go through losing a friend. No one wants to feel that rift, whatever. But at the end of the day, whatever happens is meant for a reason. And I remember before we started our LVN program, I think I told you this, I really felt like I didn't have my knit group of friends anymore because of what happened, right? And I remember either the people that really actively did something wrong to me, I removed from Instagram, I blocked them. And then others, I just muted their stories. And I would still occasionally sometimes still see them. And I'm like, ugh. Like it would literally like ruffle my feathers. And then there was a point where I just feel like I didn't have anyone. I didn't feel like, you know, I felt like really I was angry and upset with how my life was going and with God. And I was just like, dude, what is going on? Like, I feel like I gave my all to people just for them to leave and be like, well, what now? You know, but at the end of the day, it's for a reason. What lesson are they teaching you? Yeah. And I feel like any piece of advice that I give to someone that went through something similarly really, if I can go back and tell my younger self, like, who cares about having a big group of friends? Who cares about knowing someone from when you were 10 years old, like when you were in elementary school, and then you're still holding it down, like over 10 years of friendship? Who cares? Because at the end, and we talked about this, like, holding down a friendship because, or even a relationship with someone, because you've known them for years, who gives a fuck? Honestly, it's not about how long you've known them. It's about the quality of that kind of the relationship you have. Because, babe, someone you've known for 10 years since you were like 13, okay, if they're treating you like shit and you still want to keep them around. And you know what, Queen? I will say the people that you choose to keep in your life says a lot about you. If you're going to keep around someone that treats you like shit, what does that say about how you feel about yourself? That you're willing to keep someone like that in your life. That just goes to show how kind of like your own self-value is plummeting because you're willing to keep around people that treat you and make you feel like shit.
I think also to piggyback off of that too, the way that they treat you, but also the way that they treat other people. Who you associate with says a lot about who you are as a person. So if you don't agree with the way that one of your friends treats somebody else or other people or whatever, that also says a lot about what kind of person you are. And you may not agree, you may not do the same things that they're doing, but because you're associated with them, you know, it kind of puts you in that box with them.
And how funny is it, like, when we're young, we're always taught that. And then we just kind of push it to the back burner. We're like, nah, they're fine. It's funny. They're funny. They make me laugh. They make me smile. But when we get older, those principles, those pillars, those morals that we were taught from when we were young manifest and they mean much more when we're older. Like, it's so full circle, bitch. Like, it's so full circle how all of a sudden, like, things like that were taught to you as a child are something you need to like really be active in implementing in your everyday life when you're an older adult.
Period.
Take it from me, bitch. Take it from me. Anyways, I'm like trying to think what else. And honestly, I can go on and on and on about some shitty ass stories that like my old friends used to do, but it's just like we were young, you know? And that shaped me. That molded me at the end of the day. So thank y'all. Peace and love, good riddance, you know? But yeah. But also what I wanted to add is like, don't force somebody to talk to you or to handle the situation if they don't want to. That's something I feel like big. It's like when you force something to be the same again, it's not, you have to naturally let it happen. And especially recovering from a friendship breakup, like it's not going to really be the same, you know? But then that's okay because that situation had to happen in order for you guys to kind of restore those boundaries and those, and to almost strengthen your friendships. Okay, well, then I'm just not going to do that because that happened before. You know what I mean? So I just feel like if things were meant to happen, don't try to force them back into your life. Don't try to force this friend, this surface level friend back into your life if they never held value to you to begin with versus someone who you took a look back at it and you're like, okay, well, you know what? I do think I want to restore this friendship. You make a pros and cons list of having this friend in your life. And if there are more cons than there are pros, and it is a little hard to do if you're not, your maturity level is not there, but like if they serve you, keep them in your life. And if you do the same for them, keep them in your life. Don't ever force someone to stay in your life if they were never meant to be there in the first place, babe. You know?
Yeah.
But that's just something I learned too.
Also with friendships, a big thing is letting your ego go and being able to say when you are wrong or you are in the wrong. You know what I mean? I think it's the best place to do it. And it's really important to maintaining a relationship, especially during a disagreement. Because I remember one time you and me got into a, not disagreement, but like we just had to talk about it. And I was like, oh, I see where I went wrong because I read the message wrong. But being able to admit that, I think, is, and being able to let your ego go and being able to know and understand and realize where you went wrong as well as where the other person went wrong, I think is really vital to communicating through disagreements and differences also.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And like we talked about my solo episode is like kind of, it's okay to admit that you're wrong, because really, like, if you don't reflect on your own actions, then it's a one-sided thought. Like, you're not like, mm-hmm. oh, well, they did this to me, they did that to me. Like, or, you know, versus if you kind of admit to what you did wrong, you're able to look at the situation and handle it from all different angles and all different perspectives. And yeah. really identify and properly make the decision of keeping a person in your life. If you're able to see, oh, that's where I went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Versus.
I think it. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think it is difficult, but I think it's also important to know that a friendship, or any relationship for that matter, it is a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if things are going wrong, it's not necessarily meaning that it's all on the other person who is in the wrong. You know what I mean? So I feel like being able to take that accountability for yourself and your actions and know things that you can work on and fix to improve your end of things, you know, is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And not to just pass that off onto the other person, because it is a two-person thing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in this disagreement to begin with.
Mm-hmm. You know what, like we talked about too, like, like realizing, okay, where you went wrong and being able to identify that. Sometimes I don't know about you, but I feel like if you're the only person doing that and being able to distinguish, you know, where you went wrong and how you feel in the situation, please recognize that if another person is not putting in that much mental effort as you are, don't do it. Like, take that as a sign. Don't do it. Like, and ask them, like, well, did you reflect on it? Did you think about it? You know, did you see, you know? And if they're not able to give that back to you, that's a red flag. That is a huge red flag that they're not able to identify their own mistakes, but they're able to recognize yours. Like,
mm-hmm.
come on. That's a
little. I think it also tells you how much they value on their end your yes. friendship. Mm-hmm. They're not willing to put that effort in to do the work to get to the root of the problem on mm-hmm. their end. It kind of shows that they don't really value you or that friendship as much yeah. as you do, compared mm-hmm. to the work that you put in to try to resolve the situation.
Yeah. And that happens a lot, unfortunately. I feel like as we get older, it's like, it's hard to identify. And I feel like when we're done dirty, and a lot of the times as we're young like this, like, it's hard to trust again and to feel like you can find another friendship, especially as women, you know. Unfortunately, I feel like, yes, like, it's always like, oh, women support women. But then when it comes down to it, very catty, very hard to get on the same page with each other. And that's just something you have to actively work towards. So like I said, if they're really not putting in the work as you too, it's a two-way street. Like it's not going to. That's a recipe for disaster, if I'm being honest with you. It's a recipe mm-hmm. for disaster. You don't want to be involved with that. And if you're able to recognize that from the beginning, even if it's the first argument, if it's something about something small a little bit, like, I don't really know how I felt about that, you know, then you can kind of save yourself from that kind of friendship, because really you don't want to be involved in that. You really don't. And we talked about this before. If it's not going to manifest now, it'll manifest later on down the road. Like, it mm-hmm. really, really will. So just stay strong if you're going through something like this, and self-reflect and even on the relationship between the both of you guys, like the friendship between the both of you guys. If it's not meant to be, it's not. And don't guilt yourself into thinking maybe we should still be friends, because no, then you're settling on your friendship, and you don't want to ever settle on any kind of decision in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
you deserve better than that.
Yes, you deserve way better than a half-assed friend, okay? If we're talking about relationships, somebody would be so quick to be like, you don't deserve a half-assed relationship. Same rule applies to friendships. Mm-hmm. Don't settle with friendships. And really, those people are more involved in your life than you think. And they implement a lot more opinions in your life. You don't need anybody that is, you know, preying on your downfall, who doesn't have the best interest for you. Like, how mm-hmm. could you ever make good decisions with people like that in your life? Or have mm-hmm. a quality life with people like that in your close circle? You can't, mm-hmm. is the short answer, okay? So be strong, and be able to identify it. Look out in the beginning, because that's how you save yourself from here's a disaster, if I'm being honest. All right, well, that's the end of the episode. I hope you took something away from this and you're able to implement these pieces of advice in your life actively. And yes, where can you find us, queen? Where can you find us, queen?
We are on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, all under No Baddies Left Behind.
Ooh, yeah.
Now do the Hannah Montana one.
Oh, which one? It's like, why am I blinking? Fuck, right when you asked me, I started blinking. That was really bad. If I heard it, it'd be better. But yes, thank you for listening. If you have listened all the way through, and make sure to also rate us on Spotify and also Apple Podcasts, because that does help us out when you download the episode, when you press play. So yes, we love you guys, and we'll talk to you guys in our next episode. Bye.